Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. We are your hosts, Chris.
And Jonathan.
On to game five.
On to it. Let's assess game four real quick. Let's see what's going on. What's going on? How you feeling? How you feeling about your team?
Game four. Man.
They let that one slip away.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even call that one a blowout.
No.
More so as, I mean, yes, the score got a little lopsided later in the game, but for the most part, it was a pretty tight game. Which I thought it was going to be.
It was tight at half. You know, it was going to be close. I mean, Miami does not want to go down 3-1 going into game five in San Antonio.
Nope.
You know, they came off a ass whooping.
Big time.
You know.
Embarrassing.
Spurs had got beaten before by 19. Everybody was, of course, going on that wave of what Spurs going to do. I don't know. If they lose, it just might be it. Can they do it? And they come back and knock the shit out of them fucking Miami. And, you know, I'm not overconfident, but my people are like, oh, Miami, Dwayne Wade, what do you do with him? Bench him.
I mean, Chris, like you Bosch. Said, it flip-flops. Spurs right. win. Everybody's like, oh, Spurs going to win. Miami wins. Oh, Miami going to win. So it flip-flops back and forth. So it is what it is.
This is the first game where the quote-unquote big three of Miami actually showed up together.
Yes.
Dwayne
All
Wade.
All of them play well.
Dwayne Wade took probably a lot of shit. You know, bringing up trust, you know, bringing up the word, having the trust in there. I was like, okay, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, he had something to prove. There were people like, this is it. Is this it for him? You know, LeBron James is going to be all right next year. Dwayne Wade,
not so sure.
You know, and he came out aggressive. I liked Miami's pace if I was finished. They came out aggressive. They were pushing the ball, you know, off of rebounds. They come pushing up the floor, getting easy baskets, getting transition. Spurs, you know, we're getting sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, turnovers.
What's up with Ginobili, dude? What's going on? He can't hit nothing. Well,
He's just not aggressive. He is where Dwayne Wade was previously in the previous game. Just non-existent. You see him get the ball, when he getting at the top of the key, you know he's going to shoot it. And need him to be aggressive. At least, you know, what he was giving you was rebounds, assists, still attacking, moving the ball, you know, opening up for the shooters. And that game, he wasn't doing that at all. He was just selling for the three. He wasn't aggressive. And they need him to have at least a 20-point game, something close to that, in this series, I think, to win. One of these two games, he has to be an impact player. I'll say that.
Definitely. I definitely agree with that. He definitely has to step his game up. He was selling a little bit, it looked like, back in game four. He has to attack the paint. I mean, that's what he's known for. He attacks. He makes circus-type shots. He's got to get back to that kind of Ginobili. I know he's old. You know, I know he's been playing pro ball a long time. So, you know, he's up there in age. You know, he's probably older, if you want to say that, older than his real age. Probably his body is probably older than his real age.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's just been playing so long. But he's got to get back to being aggressive, like you said, and attacking the rim, attacking the paint, drawing cats in, and kicking it out like he has been. So Danny Green and Gary Neal are on fire right now. It seems like those fools just can't miss nothing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, this series of role players have been key for the Spurs. Yes, Gary Neal, Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard
beasting.
have come up consistently.
They take no blame.
You know, same for Miami, Ray Allen. Mike Miller, although he didn't really do much, he was just more of a threat because he only had one shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think them going small, you know, probably threw the Spurs off a bit. Turnovers just escalated. Oof.
Did they?
You know, they controlled the paint. I think it was like 50 to 38 points in the paint. And that's been the key this whole series. Whoever gets the most points in the paint, whoever commits the lowest turnovers – wins the game. It's been that. It's both games, all four games. And, you know, best out of three.
Here we go.
Spurs, you know,
they got one at home. They got one more at home. Yes. That's it.
And let's be clear from people all that, you know, of course I want them to win game five. Either of these teams can win on the road, and if either team that loses game five can win two more games.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just not, oh, if Spurs lose, now they buried. No. If, oh, the Spurs win, Miami, I don't know. Like, look, it's going to be a Duke out.
Battle. They ain't going away. Ain't none of these teams going away. Sleep quiet at all. So,
nope. Yeah,
blow. So, I mean, Miami better be ready. Spurs ready. Make some noise. I know Pop once again got in that ass and chewed them out big time. So,
yeah, they have to step their defensive intensity up. You know, have to execute better on offense. I mean, they've got to
play
shots
better. I mean, that's just what it is.
They have to match up, you know, adjust. I think Boris Diaw is going to get more time than Splitter.
We'll see.
You know, that play we're all talking about where Splitter was guarding Dwayne Wade. Like,
we'll see. All
right.
We'll see. So they'll make the adjustments as necessary, and we'll take care of it. So can't wait for game five.
Let's go, y'all. Let's go.
Oh, that's going to be good.
You know, and now in free agency land.
It's just been nothing but talk out here in L.A. land since, you know, none of these two teams are in the freaking playoffs. So
this
has been all free agency all day, every day. So
it's not even in your town, but Laker. Los Angeles is the talk of free agency right now.
Everybody.
You know, let's start with the hot team in Los Angeles. And it is the Clippers.
Those Los Angeles Clips. First of all, we got Drummond with Chris Paul feeling bad and pissed off because he was, quote unquote, I guess, being used as the lame duck as far as why Vinny Del Negro got fired. So he didn't really appreciate that much. And now we got talk of Doc Rivers, you know, possibly entertaining the idea of coming to LA to coach the Clippers, which. Obviously, if he was interested, he would move to the top of the list for Donald Sterling.
Of course he is.
And
he's the second best coach in the league.
It's just funny to me because I'm like, does this work the same way as like NFL? Like if a coach says, all right, I want to go coach here since y'all rebuilding, I want to go coach here. Do they have to trade something to get Doc Rivers?
I think they have to give up. They're going to have to give up
some kind of compensation.
Yeah, okay. To me, they're going to have to give up some cash, and there's going to be some players. Like, I'm giving you Doc Rivers because the piece is given, you know, Eric Bledsoe is, of course, in any deal.
Oh, yeah. He's the hot chip. I told you.
It's anybody but Blake Griffin. You're getting DeAndre Jordan. You can get Caron Butler. You can get Eric Bledsoe.
Oh,
you can't Blake Griffin. All that talk, come on. You know, but then it's like, do you trade for Kevin Garnett?
And Paul Pierce. What's Paul Pierce going to do?
That package, you'd have to give up the Celtics. Like, first of all, you have to give them up a grip. You like, if you're giving that up, you giving me Blake Griffin at least.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you Blake Griffin's in the day. I'm not giving you damn the Celtics with the core pieces. Like, I want Chris Paul. Oh no, I have Rajon Rondo.
Exactly,
but he need a Blake Griffin.
Yep.
Like I need Blake Griffin.
So, first of all, I already read an article where he said Danny Ainge already denied, you know, them an interview anyway. So
he's not
to me. This ain't.
He's not gonna make it easy.
Oh no, heck no, and he should make it easy. Oh no, you are not about to just jump ship. Because you think we're rebuilding. Plus, we don't know what Boston's going to do yet.
No.
We got to wait and see what Boston does.
Yeah.
And from what I know, they're not going to do anything until they find out what Paul Pierce is going to do. Is he going to opt out of his contract, save them some cash, or is he going to opt in his contract and, you know, and keep it rolling again? So, we'll see.
Danny Ainge, his game would be like, I'm going to explore all the options,
exactly.
And if it seems like that it's time to break it up, then I'm going to get compensation for breaking this up.
Definitely.
You know? And he's going he would respect it. He's just like, is it time? All right, well, since you're still under contract,
yeah, exactly.
I got to get something for you.
You can't go for nothing. So, you know, it is what it is. And then for the Clippers, we also have some some Laker-Clipper mixing going on here. We got Dwight Howard and Chris Paul. We all know they buddies. We all know they friends and all that, you know. And now they're sitting here talking to each other, apparently, quote-unquote, talking to each other on the day-to-day about teaming up and going somewhere. First of all, there are very few places y'all both can go because nobody has the cap room just to sign both of y'all. That just ain't going to happen. So your choices are pretty limited. You either got both of y'all re-signed with your respective teams, ergo the Lakers and the Clippers. You got Dallas. You got Houston. You got Atlanta. That's pretty much where you're left with. That's pretty much it. Those are the only real teams that can really afford. Unless, perhaps, you know, Dwight Howard, you want to go back to Orlando, you know. But, you know, I'm just throwing out there as a dark horse. I don't know, you know. I personally have always said I don't think Dwight, I always thought Dwight was going to leave. I don't think he's resigned.
Dwight would, unfortunately for Dwight,
And I don't want Laker fans entertaining this as, is Dwight and Chris Paul going to come to the Lakers? No.
I don't know if he can take this as a shot or whatever as he want. He would come off to me personality-wise that he would be better off as a Clipper. Because the Clipper will always be the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're in a two-team town in a sport.
You always be the baby brother.
As good as an angel, you're going to be. You're not a Dodger.
Dodger town, son. Exactly.
No, that don't mean you ain't getting respect, though.
No, not at all.
If you got the championships, hey.
That's what I'm saying. You can talk about, talk about the Angels. Yeah. Who's won more recently?
Right.
They don't need to be said. So.
And the Clippers are right. Clippers are on. Have been on the upswing.
Exactly. And the Lakers have been definitely on the downswing.
Yeah. And if I'm Donald Sterling, no, I'm not trading Blake Griffin for Dwight Howard.
Yeah, let's just shoot that idea down real quick now, please. Yeah.
Honestly, like right now, who's the one doing the highlights packing the stadium? Blake Griffin.
Exactly.
Who's the one who's been the most healthiest lately? Blake Griffin. Who comes with less drama? Blake Griffin.
I mean, you know, it is what it is.
If you can get Dwight Howard.
I'm telling you, however...
Ooh, that's going to be ugly.
Dwight and CP3, listen to me. Y'all want to win? Y'all really want to win? If this is about winning. Y'all want a title? Go to Dallas. I'm telling you, go to Dallas. Team up with Dirk. That's a big three for that ass.
Yeah.
CP3, Dirk, and Dwight? Are you serious?
Yeah.
You ain't never losing. I can kill you from all angles. We got a stretch four who can pop threes. And kill you on the inside. Dwight got the paint to himself. CP3 can kill you. Sean Marion's still there. Could do some things with the rebounding.
They had to get with Sean Marion. They had to cut him. Hey, trade him with something.
They can kill on some minimum players. Vince Carter, come back for the minimum.
Yeah, Dwight, Mark Cuban is looking at doing that. He's going to explore all options. But you'd have to, look at the CBA. Look what's possible. Like, all these fools having dreams. Like, Miami's having problems.
Yeah.
That's why it's always that talk of, you know, Dwayne Wade getting traded and Chris Bosh getting tricked out. Like, it's the CBA.
Yep.
You can roll the dice. You can risk it for a few years. That's why it's the early termination. A few years, see how the money were. Ooh, it's tight. What are we going to do now?
And speaking of early termination and free agency, did you hear what happened today and who is getting ready to opt out?
No.
The perfect person who would be a Bull. Mr. Andre Iguodala, baby.
He's opting out.
Oh, he's opting out of that contract and becoming a free agent. Go to Chicago. Boom.
He's not going to Chicago.
Go to Chicago and be the two next to D. Rose. Are you serious? Are you serious? Dude. We would shut him down, baby. We'd be back on top, number one.
But you know who your competition
is
going to be.
Oh, what's happening?
But you know who the other team he can go to?
Oh, he can go to Indiana.
No.
Yes. Who?
The Clippers. The Clippers want. He go to the Clippers?
He's been
if he
always,
goes to the
there's
Clippers.
Always been talk about him going to the Clippers, but I'm telling you, Andre, go to Chicago, baby. You team up with D-Rose, Luol Deng, Joakim Noah. It's a wrap, son. He ain't even been scoring like that lately. Putting up 12-5-5. That's all we need. You can hit some threes and defend. You are right up Tom Thibodeau's alley, baby. Come on, Andre Iggy.
He's not scared at the moment.
Come on down to Chicago, baby. We'll win some titles with you on that team. Let's go. Ooh, that would be a nice pickup. But you know what? I wouldn't mind seeing him on the Clippers. But to me, that's too much. I'm sorry. For the Clippers, that's way too much. You got DeAndre Jordan. You got Blake Griffin. You got Caron Butler. You got Chris Paul. You got Eric Bledsoe. Well, you got Lamar Odom. You got
Lamar,
Jamal Crawford. Who else they got on the team? They got everybody on that team. Yeah, you got Willie Green on the team. It's too loaded. It's not too loaded, but just adding him, good Lord.
I don't know
his
line, because at first they were talking about trying to trade for him. So, but he's actually,
And we got Brandon Rush, who opted back in, coming off an ACL tear as well. Nobody talked about him not gutting it out. All you Derrick Rose haters out there. So, because he ain't Derrick Rose, I guess. So he'll come back and be a nice piece for Golden State. Be a nice little piece off the bench.
Dude,
add another shooter.
You know what they? But why your coach come out and say all that? Like he's looking like the best, and he relaxed. I'm like, why do you say that? Because everybody like,
well, why didn't you come back?
Yeah.
Well,
you know what?
You know this is. Let me just say this. I saw the comments. I read them today, and I said, all right, whatever. Dude, this is like what? Dang near a month after we got eliminated from the playoffs. Yeah, I'm sure he's quite better in a month than he was a month ago. Like,
this is as of right now. I don't give a fuck. Like, when it comes September, you 100% ready to go? I don't want to see you. I don't want to see you showing off. I don't want to see you showing off on no record league or outside in the park. I want to see you in the gym. I want to see you in the gym.
Pre Adrian Peterson, freak of nature. I came back 2 months after tearing my ACL. Everybody and their mama, whenever an ACL was torn, oh, he don't need to come back early. He need to rest up. You know, we don't want him to come back. We want him to be 100% before he come back. Oh, he need to get off the mental portion. The mental portion is the toughest part. Then why can't Derrick Rose sit and get 100% healthy? Why? Because Adrian Peterson came back 6 months after tearing his ACL. Now, everybody is like, well, since he did it, you got to do it. Why? Why can't a dude say, you know what? That's why I love Derrick Rose. Because he did what everybody else don't do. It's like, you know what? I'm going to be the smart one and sit till my motherfucking ass is 100% healthy and I can come back and play like the Derrick Rose MVP I was. And you know what? If he comes back next year and dominates this league again, I want everybody to shut up and eat crow. Because you know what? I'm going to be waiting for the game one when he comes back and drops 30 points, 10 assists, 5 steals, and just kills. Waiting for that day. So everybody can shut up about it. Because I'm just like, you know what? This is what I was hating. This is what I hated. Because anytime anything was said about Derrick Rose, why did he come back? It's been a month since we've played. Yes, he's healthier now. I'm sure he's better now. I mean, duh. He's been able to rest.
Well, I'm sure
he hasn't had to travel or do anything. He's been able to stay in Chicago point blank, work out daily and practice, not having to worry about traveling with the team, getting doing other things. He has been able to 100% just rehabilitate. And the coach, Thibodeau, has been working with him. And yes, I'm sure he looks fantastic.
And they see him in practice. They're just like,
they've always been said he's been looking good in practice. But I mean, yes, he came out and said he looks like the Derrick Rose of old. And yeah, fine.
I'm like, hey, if I do want to be like, you know what?
Great. That means he's going to be 2,000% by the time training camp rolls around.
Let's not act like some of y'all lazy ass niggas wouldn't be like, oh, I'm hurt. You know what? Let me sit on my $20 million.
And must I mind y'all? Let me mind y'all. Exhibition starts in like a month and a half. So he gonna be playing in about a month and a half anyway. So yeah, I'm glad he took the time to rest up and get healthy. Y'all gotta think long term now, folks. Long term. The kid's 23 years old.
You know he created that now. His name is attached to that incentive when you get like if you've been in the All-Star game two times.
That's not his fault.
No, but I mean like and that's the appropriate reason. Like I just paid you like $95 million for 4 years. Like, you want to sit down? Fine. They don't have like, oh, this other dude just stepped up and led them to the
finals. All I got to say is
Derrick Rose is your guy.
All I got to say is Let a LeBron James tear his ACL. Let a CP3 tear his ACL. And let's see how much rush we need to put on them. Yeah, you need to come back quick. I bet y'all won't say a thing about if they tore their ACL. Oh, because it's Derrick Rose and the Bulls, you know. He needs to hurry up. No. We got it. And y'all saw in the playoffs. If we had a 100% healthy Derrick Rose, we might be in the finals right now, son. The way our team was playing, so let him get healthy. Because you know what? We're going to go right back to the number one team in the East like we were pre-ACL tear. Might I mind y'all? It wasn't Miami with the number one record. It was Chicago, baby. So let's get it cracking. Number one seed again next year. Calling it now. Let's go. Forget the heat. It's the Bulls, son. But it's all good. It's all good. And then we got some big news for Denver. Denaro Gallinelli. Looks like when the surgery was being done, they found out it was only a partial tear. It wasn't a full tear of the ACL, which is great news for Denver. He gets to come back a little earlier, perhaps. It's not as severe an injury as people thought, which is good news. And I'm sure Denver fans took a huge sigh of relief today, knowing that.
All that luck, you know.
Because, I mean, with everything going on, they needed some kind of good news. So
just reading about how it was like, you know, because he's not playing JaVale McGee enough, kind of. You're like.
But, I mean, that.
Yeah, I feel it, man. Like,
you got it. It's like, dude, I'm paying him like $11 million a year.
Well, he's been there like a long time. Like you,
it's like you convinced me to keep him, but you ain't playing him like that.
Unless you win the finals every other year or something like that, then you going to get fired. If you was getting at least to, like, Western Conference or, like, sure, we can make it, then.
And that's why I said with Vinny Del Negro, if he didn't at least make it to where they made it last year or further, he was getting fired.
But come on. We all said that last year.
My thing is, if he had at least made it to where they were last year, I think they might have at least entertained the idea of giving him one more go-around. The fact that he kind of digressed a little bit, to me, was like, that's it right there.
When they couldn't hold on to that 3C. I was like, they need the 3C. When they couldn't hold on to it, and I was like, they do not want to play Memphis.
And speaking of the whole coaching carousel, your boy came out. Greg Popovich and Eric Spoelstra as well came out and kind of expressed a little bit of frustration about, you know, no continuity within these teams and organizations. And they did make, you know, you make a point to look out and point out. You look at a team like the Miami Heat, and they pointed out Miami has had four coaches, I want to say, since Pat Riley took over the team, which has been, two of them have been Pat Riley. One has been Stan Van Gundy. The other, Eric Spoelstra. That's it. Continuity. You look at a guy like Greg Popovich. Came out. He played well. He was successful. They've stuck with him ever since. He's been the coach of that team for, it feels like, forever in a decade. Continuity. You got to have it. It's important. It's important with these coaches. You got good. And what kills me is, like, you got good teams, playoff teams. It seemed like all of them getting new coaches. You got Jersey, who didn't rehire PJ Carlissimo, which, in my opinion, was stupid.
No,
I personally didn't like that move. I'm like, you got to reward guys. I mean, you look like, and I always use the Frank Vogel rule. I'm like, dude, you got a coach who comes in the interim, turns his teams around, gets them to the playoffs, gets them playing well. You got to at least give him another chance, another year, I say.
Well, New Jersey's different.
Well, and then you got a team like Memphis.
We'll get to. Do you want to talk about Jason Kidd?
Yeah. Oh, let's hit on Jason Kidd.
I mean, new coach of Memphis. New Jersey.
New coach of Memphis.
I mean, which is the Brooklyn. Excuse me.
I keep saying Jersey.
To me, that's part of it. Bringing Jason Kidd in. Of course, he played for the best time of the New Jersey. He's basically the second best player.
They selling tickets.
By Dr. J.
They selling tickets. To me, I mean. To me, that move they made, that's not about winning. To me, that's more so about selling tickets. I have never seen something like this. This Jason Kidd retired not even a week ago, and now he's the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets? Really? With no coaching experience at all, which he came out and said he's going to try to hire Lawrence Frank to be his right-hand man. He's going to coach in the exhibition games so he can kind of get a feel for it and everything. He said he's not going to be a screamer. He's going to hope that, you know, his laid-back demeanor will, you know, get his point across and all of that good stuff. But it's he's learning to coach on the fly. Like, I have never seen a player just retire and immediately become head coach. Like, he has no experience. Like, you talk about assistant coaches. Oh, we ain't hired Brian Shaw because he doesn't have head coaching experience. Jason Kidd has no experience. Like, not even a smidgen of experience coaching. And you really? That's why I say, for me, this is a sales ploy. This is to get tickets, to get fans in the stands. Because all the fans of Brooklyn, of course they love Jason Kidd. He gave them winning seasons when he was there. Of course fans going to come see him coach. The players have, you know, players respect him. Of course, players respect him. And I'm sure they'll take his word seriously. But come on. Okay. I mean, come on. Brian Shaw can't get a job yet, but Jason Kidd gets a job as soon as he retires. With no head coaching experience at all. I repeat one more time. He has literally, I have as much coaching experience as Jason Kidd does. None. Actually, you know what? I might have more coaching experience. I coach on Madden, on my Xbox, all the time. And I kill in that game. So you know what? Maybe I should be hired as an NFL head coach. Because you know what? I know some X's and O's, and I will kill it. So, hey, if that's the route we going now, I'm going to try to be a head coach in the NFL somewhere because I murder on Madden. And you know what? If Jason Kidd can do it, I can do it. So, that's all I got to say about that.
Hold on. Oh, that was funny.
Enjoy that one, folks. Enjoy it. I'm serious.
Okay, well, so I can take a sip of water. Let me ask you, how good do you think Jason Kidd could be as a coach? Period. Not the Nets in this particular situation, but throughout his career.
I think Jason Kidd can be a fantastic head coach.
You think he can?
I really do. I personally think he needed a few seasons as an assistant head coach before he took this route. But I think he can be a damn good head coach. But for me, it's just like, you're hiring a guy with no experience and basically no training and allowing him to learn on the fly. If you are a corporation, that is not a smart move. That is telling your CEO, get up here and run this company. And he don't know nothing about your company at all. Learn on the fly, son. Just get with it. Lead us. Okay. You leading me blind. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, so... You know what? I don't know. So he's going to learn on the fly. We'll see what happens. Like I said, he has mad respect from his peers. He has that respect. He has that going for him, that they respect the hell out of him.
Okay.
And he is a Hall of Famer. But you got to have at least a year of college coaching something.
We had gone, I think, before and said that. I agree on one sense that I do think that I would hope that he would spend a few years assistant coaching, or at least I would rather him just take a break from basketball for a year. Like a year. How can you change from player to coach that quick? From player, and not like this, you know, I'm a player coach. I mean, from a player to coach in 2013 NBA. Not back when Bill Russell did it now.
It's for me, the smarter move, and this is why I say they should have kept P.J. Carlesimo. The smarter move for me, you really want Jason Kidd? Fine. Extend P.J. Carlesimo for one more year and just let him transition into the head coach. Let him learn a little bit. No. Let him sit on the bench, analyze, get in the...
No, this is...
The X's and O's, man. He got to learn it.
This is what's shocking to me for Brooklyn Nets fans. All this hype that came in about them being better than New York. This particular offseason has a plethora of talented... George Karl,
Lionel Hollins.
Brian Shaw. You had Jerry Sloan out there.
You got Jerry Sloan out there. Nate McMillan. Maurice Cheeks was out there.
You know, and now that Doc Rivers is a possibility, you get who you all. I would rather get George Karl. Like, George Karl has produced. I'm trying to win a championship. So let me look for a championship coach who's done it.
That's why I said.
Or at least come close to it.
This ain't about winning. This is for sales, man. That's why I said it.
No, Lionel Hollins?
That's why I said
it. Come on. Lionel Hollins like just proved he took his team to the damn Western Conference Finals. Western Conference Finals, dude. Come on.
And this is what they were talking about. Like, you got the Memphis Grizzlies letting go of Lionel Hollins.
I don't get that.
Why?
It's ownership.
He led you to the freaking West. They have progressed every single year. Who knows? Next year they could be in the finals.
Their issue was, for me, whoever, like this new ownership, why didn't you get more for Rudy Gay? That's like, Ed Davis needed to fucking produce. I'm not mad at the Tayshaun Prince joint, but it's almost like, you know, Bayless proved some in the series. Maybe you should have kept Calderon. But I mean, like, Flip to get something.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant. Come back with a vengeance.
He wants two more years, so let's see how we're going to extend him.
2 years, $20 million.
I want closer to Jordan. I want 25. So we'll see. Y'all going to be in luxury tax city again.
And you know what? If he does that, Laker fans, me going to be should have amnestied that nigga. I told you.
Oh man, it's gonna be this is great. It is so much fun out here in Lakerland.
Look, I'm not mad at him. I want to. Of course, you want to win two more damn titles.
Of course,
if you didn't want to win two more,
he wants
titles,
more than Jordan. That's what it is. He wants more than Michael Jordan. He got six. I want seven. That's just his competitive nature talking. That's what he is.
That's his goal.
That's Kobe. He's an old school. He got some of the old school player mentality in him. He grew up with the old school players. He's the last of a dying breed. He is one of the last few old school mentality players. Jordan got six rings. I'm getting seven of them. That's his mentality. It ain't just
He grew up on Jordan.
Yeah.
And he idolized him almost to a fault.
He played with Jordan. He played against Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan stood next to him and talked to him and gave him a little advice here and there. Was like, you know, the torch is being passed to you, my child. Take over. And Kobe took over. He became the next great sensation, the next great two guard. The next Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he don't care about being arrogant.
He don't care.
In your face.
I mean,
look, I don't see double teams.
I don't see none of y'all. I'm 1-on-5 in it, dude. It is what it is. Yeah. He's a competitor. Yeah. That's his nature.
I'm gonna take a 23 fallback footer and make it 1 out of 7 times. But I made that one. You was like, oh, he clutch.
I'm gonna take a page out of Skip Bayless. He is a force of competitive nature. That's just what he is. That's his mentality. Yeah. He is a firecracker, and I ain't mad at Kobe. No. He tore his Achilles. He feel like he got something to prove.
Yeah. So don't be mad at Dwight Howard. Don't want to be around him.
Exactly. He ain't re-signing with the Lakers. Why you think he talking to Chris Paul about getting out of Lakerville? Both of them trying to get out of L.A. Now, Dwight Howard don't like Kobe.
Lakers.
Dwight Howard don't like Mike D'Antoni. Chris Paul don't like the fact that he's getting put out there for the reason Vinnie Negro got fired. They both trying to skip town. So, enjoying while they still here, folks, because they may not be here for long.
Hey, you know how I feel about the whole Dwight Howard. I like, read between the damn lines. If he wanted to do this matchup and have with a point guard, he would have went to Brooklyn. No, I'm not forgetting she with Dwight Howard, dude. Dude, you could have been in Brooklyn. Case closed. None of this drama.
Yeah, he really could have.
You be the dude. Because they'd probably actually go to you.
Oh, man.
God, what you going to do, sacrifice money to play with Chris Paul somewhere?
And the funny thing is,
against the owner who said he was going to pay, and you could have had this whole Jay-Z conglomerate. You could have been in New York. But maybe it's, hey, you know what it is? Maybe it's what true what they say. You not a big city dude.
Yeah, I was about to say, you
nothing wrong with, hey,
you getting criticized out here, my friend. But New York is, and let's be real, New York is a whole different beast.
Hey, maybe that's why he didn't want to go with the Bulls.
Hey.
He don't want to play for Atlanta. Well, but that's different.
That's his home. That's his hometown. And you know what?
They still ain't gonna come.
Yeah, I'm about to say after going to school there, even if he can, they still wouldn't come to the game anyway. So, it would be funny if Chris Paul and them did end up in Atlanta. Right. It's like, well, Atlanta, you could have had this from Jump Street had you just drafted him over Marvin Williams.
Maybe you would.
Marvin Williams. Oh, this is great. Oh, this is fantastic. It's funny how things go around. And you know what the funny thing is? I will end it on this. You know what the funniest thing is? Orlando was going to get an all-star center for Dwight Howard. They got one regardless, basically, in Vucevic. Done. We got our center anyway.
Yeah.
And you still in some drama that we ain't got to deal with. So, Dwight... Go to Dallas, dude.
Kick back,
lay back in Dallas. You know, they're kind of behind the scenes a little bit. Mm-hmm. Nobody really think about them all that much. Chill. The Cowboys own that city, so you ain't got to worry about competing. So don't worry about it. You get the stretch forward. Dirk who lets you hold the paint down, and CP3 can join you. I'm telling you, it's a match made in heaven. I'm telling you. Forget about that Houston crap. Dallas, dude. Dallas. Done.
Yeah, I would not be mad.
I'm telling you, that
in terms of who would be,
is where I've always thought Dwight would end up, and I'm sticking to that, man. And the way Mark Cuban is, he'll make it work and get both of them down there.
Yeah, dude, I'm just like, you just got a dude who won and who's going. He has that same desire to win a championship like Kobe, but he ain't going to come at you like that.
And he's an owner, and he just be chilling. You know, and Dirk won it. Dirk won another one.
That's
man.
What I'm talking about.
Dirk won another one. Yeah, and he's soft spoken. Yeah. He don't really, you know, he come
He'll
out.
He'll get in your face if he needs to.
But you know, he ain't
a challenge. He like
you know, he's a fun loving dude. He's a good dude. He's a good guy.
He's gonna open it
he's
up for me.
He's a team player.
Yeah, like do your work because then I'm gonna do mine
exactly. And oh my god, that would be ridiculous. Yeah.
That you could actually, you know,
that would be stupid. But we'll see. You know. We'll see. And I got some breaking news for NBA fans all over the world. If you love football, be prepared for a little football and some basketball. The NBA, couldn't believe when I saw this today. The NBA is discussing having a quote-unquote challenge flag for coaches to dispute calls with the referees in the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter and overtime. Why? That's all I got to say. Why? So let's read a quote, shall we? From Stu Jackson, who spoke to a couple of reporters, apparently. And it says here, from the reporter who posted this on CNN, says, Stu Jackson spoke to a couple of reporters, myself included, at length about potential rule changes the league's competition committee discussed behind closed doors this week. Among them, a potential quote-unquote challenge flag system for coaches to use only in the last 2 minutes of regulation and overtime. The committee did not come to a consensus on that issue, though they did agree that if the league did adopt such a system, they should first use it in a post-game and postseason games only. Coaches would only get one challenge per game. You are telling me you are going to throw out this rule in the postseason when the games count the most? I don't like that. I would say test that thing out in exhibition games and, you know, maybe a few early regular season games. I am not about to implement that thing in the finals. Let's start it in the finals. Like, no, let's not start it in the finals. Don't start that thing in the postseason. Like, I understand the concept, but leave it the way it is. I like it the way it is.
No, they check it sometimes too much. You're like, God, will you just... It's obvious. Come on. Stop looking at it five times.
So it's like, I mean...
And under 2 minutes, it gets challenged anyway.
Because to me, that's just going to drag things out. And I mean, how are you gonna do the ruling? Is it going to be like the NFL, where it's like, unless it's... If it's inconclusive, call stands. Like, you know, things of that nature. You got to work things out of that nature. And the NFL has the rule, if you lose the challenge, you lose a timeout. Is that going to work? Do you get a foul tacked on? Do you lose a full and a 20-second timeout? Do you lose two full timeout? You know, is there a penalty if you challenge and you lose? So, because, plus that's going to slow down the game. Because you're going, oh, that was an offensive foul, and they don't call it. Flag! Challenge that. Look at it. And it's going to take 10 minutes for them to look at the daggum play. And then it's going to be like, oh, my God, here we go. And then cats is going to get ice cold, and you won't wonder why your teammate hitting no shots. Man, if they hadn't challenged and taken 10 minutes to look at it, my team be still hitting. And it's... And to me, that's almost like you can almost use it as like a almost to stop a team who's on fire. Like, let's say a team gets on a 10-0 run, and all of a sudden they get like an and one flag. Let's take 10 minutes and review the call. All right, cool. We slowed them down. They ice cold, and then they start coming out, can't hit nothing. Oh, we stopped them. Cool. We on now. It's like it's I don't know. So. NBA, slow down on that one. I kind of like the rules the way they are. I like the replay system they have implemented. You know, if it's a close shot at the end, they automatically pretty much just look at the shot and make sure. That's fine with me. You know, it's fine. That's all cool. To have challenge flags, that's a little retarded. Because you're going to have, I'm telling you, I've seen Stranger Things. You're going to have one of them incidents. Never forget, Cleveland Browns player Orlando Brown got hit in the eye with a flag. Ruined his career. Ned, and I'm just saying.
They don't need a flag.
Stranger things have happened.
They just need some form of like a call or a chant or a
whistle.
Yeah, they got their own. Yeah, like if you give them their own whistle to some joint.
God. No, you can't give them a whistle because then they're going to get confused with the official's whistle. You're going to like, did he call that or did the official call that?
No, but I mean, you got to give it like a different sound of words.
Give
like,
him an air horn. Was that the fans or was that the coach?
Right. Something to get their attention.
Oh,
baseball,
man.
Sign or something.
Speaking of baseball, man, you see that brawl?
Yeah.
With the Dodgers? Woo! Hey! That's what I'm talking about, baby. Show some fight. Y'all suck, but show some fight. That's what I'm talking about.
Man.
Dodgers went in there. Yasiel Puig, the man everybody has been loving, took a shot right to the temple. And whoo, shed a little bit of tears. I know it hurt a little bit, but he was all right and did okay. And then we got to the second person who got hit by Ian Kennedy from the Diamondbacks, and that was pitcher Zach Greinke. And the shot he took knocked his helmet off. And after that, that led to the brawl. And I don't know what to tell you.
Oh no! I have some. I have a question for you, just about that. My son Eli, you say hi.
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 You on the mic? You want to say something on the microphone?
No, thank you.
No, thank you. Should they? When it comes to throwing that the ball hitting heads, when I saw the play, I didn't think at first glance it was intentional. I still don't think it was, but irregardless, should there be a fine for hitting the head specific to pitchers? Because, you know, I heard he's supposed to miss like 10 games, but
that's like two starts.
Right. But then he said it's some kind of like if he appeals it. Or something, he might only just miss one. I'm like, on some end, that's not fair.
It's not fair because you do have a case for some guys' appeal, their suspensions and things of that nature, and it kind of drags on for like 2-3 weeks, and they don't end up missing the start, and then they end up maybe missing one. So, I get it. They should be fined.
Yeah.
A hefty fine. Yeah. And to me, it really should the fine should be dictated based off where you being somebody. And if it's intentional or not. If you accidentally beat somebody in, like, the back or something, if you throw it and you beat somebody in their helmet, that should be an automatic $50,000 to $100,000 fine because you're putting somebody's life at risk, dude. Nobody I'm sure has been hit with a baseball like that. You get hit with a 100-mile-an-hour baseball in your dome, even with the helmet. That could possibly cause some serious damage.
Yeah,
brain damage,
it causes brawls, and you did
it. Does.
And the dude did it twice.
And it does. And then you had the situation where
that's the thing that pissed me off.
He hit two pitchers, but then you also had a situation where there are these little unwritten rules that a lot of people don't really know about when it comes to baseball. The whole hitting guys thing, yes, it happens. Where it got a little ugly is when Zach Greinke, the Dodgers pitcher, basically threw at a dude like three times. Technically, when you're retaliating in baseball, dudes are like, all right, you get one. Like, you get one.
It's like a one for
one. It's like a one for one. You hit me or you don't, but if you get close to me and send your message, fine.
Yeah, you're going to walk.
You don't do it again and again.
Yeah.
Then that's where it came. And then when Zach Greinke came up, yeah, he beamed him in the head. And, I mean, that was just someone else retaliation. Yeah, you throwing at my dude? I'm going to throw it at your head then.
All right. Then effect,
I don't know for sure that he was necessarily aiming at his dome to clock him right there, but that's where the ball went.
Yeah, but I mean, to get it.
And, I mean, it knocked his helmet off. And that was kind of like, that was a little scary because I'm like, dude, how fast were you throwing that freaking pitch? Like, you were trying to hurt this fool. Because you had a situation where Yasiel Puig, thank goodness he didn't get hurt. Yeah. You got hit in the face.
Yeah.
And his eyes water a little bit. Yeah, I don't blame you, dude. I would not have no shame in any dude for tearing up a little bit, getting hit in the face with a baseball.
That's why you rock the helmet, because it'd be like that.
But at the same time, I mean, you got pitchers too. You got pitchers who are defenseless and who take them comebackers, throwing it 90 and it come back 150 right back into your face. And it's like, ooh, God.
Yeah, aiming at the chest. To area me, that
you know, the pitchers get the little safety valve because of it. They do take some damage at times. I mean, you know, you see pitchers who take comebacks all the time, get hit in the shin and get hit in the face and the nose. So they take their fair share of hits as well. But yeah, when it comes to throwing at people, I mean,
I'm also you can hit them on the. You can hit a guy. You
hit a dude to send your message or walk him, but what? Don't be a dude in his head, man.
Don't be a headhunter.
That don't send the right message. That sends a sign that you dirty player. So we don't need that.
We want to thank y'all once again for tuning in to the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. You can find us on Stitcher and iTunes under Black Is Family of Podcasts with Culture Connection, Brother Malcolm.
Brother Malk.
And we had the break with Casey Lehman.
My sister.
We just did one about the Scottsboro Boys, the musical. Lord. That was good.
All right,
man. Y'all check it out.
Tune in.
So if y'all want to hit us up, you can email the show, thebrotherslehman@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, @brotherslehman. You can leave us a message at 323-455-4219.
Hey, hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns you may have? It is getting close to that time of year, y'all. Fantasy leagues are going to start popping up all over the place, especially for the NFL. We got the training camps about to start in about, another few weeks or so. So I know you guys are getting your rosters ready. Believe me, I know all the right guys to pick. I know the sleepers for the year. I can tell you, I can make you some money. I'm telling you. So tune in, ask some questions. Let me know who you think you need to pick number one, and I'll give you a rebuttal. So holla.
A shout out to Ernest Christian. He had me on his show, earnestly speaking today, repping for my Spurs. So I appreciate that. Shout out to him.
Good deal.
Now to EJ Christian 7. And just shout out to everybody who's been supporting the show.
Much love to y'all. Much love. We appreciate everything.
And John at Liquor Evan Hume, always retweeting the show.
Yes, sir. Hit us up.
Want
to be coast to coast in this month.
Yeah, we just love hearing what y'all got to say.
Hey. And we hope y'all love hearing what we got to say.
I want to just say a quick shout out to Father's Day. I know Father's Day is coming up. Yeah. Maybe when this comes out. But we want to shout out to all the fathers who are out there doing their thing.
Let me say, I know. Let me say a shout out to all the real fathers out there who are doing their thing. Because we all know, not even going front, there's some deadbeat dads out there that ain't in their children's lives like they should be. But to all you dads out there, your good ones, who are in your kids' lives, take care of your kids and love your kids like there's no tomorrow, this Father's Day for y'all, man.
I'm saying it because I am a father. That was my kid on here.
My nephew.
And we know...
You got to cherish those moments.
Yeah, we know what it is to have a good father. That's why I'm all about being a good father to my son.
Yes, sir.
It's rewarding. It's one of the best feelings in the world, you know. But I'll be honest, for them folk out there who don't fucking strap up, you know, if you're not ready for fatherhood, don't, hey, strap the hell up.
Yeah, don't. You know, don't it be ain't, a it ain't, it ain't worth it for these young ones out here, man. Don't bring these kids into these bad situations. Bring them in the good ones. Bring them in when you're ready. Enjoy your childhood. Don't be having babies when you're 14, 15 years old. Wait till you're 20-something, 27, 28, 30, 35. Yeah. I'm 28 years old and I still ain't got no kids. You think I'm rushing? No, sir. Yeah. But you know what? I know eventually I'll have one and I'll be the best father I can be to that little one. So that's how you got to do it. Make sure you love your kids, tuck them in at night, kiss them in the forehead, and cherish the memories you have with them, always and forever.
Yeah. Just let your dad know that you appreciate what he's done for you.
Exactly. Because you may not like what he says, you may not like what he does, but just know he does it out of love for you.
Yeah.
So, enjoy. Have a good time. Eat some good grub with your daddies and your fathers and your mothers and your sisters and your daughters and your cousins and aunties and uncles and everybody. And enjoy that time with your father. So, have a good one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks,
we miss you.
R.I.P. And from the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, we have been your hosts, Chris and Jonathan. And this has been the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where we're giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy.
Holla!
Fire. father. Yo, your spirit is draping me, never escaping me. I'm happy that I had you in my grasp.